start by talking about a rationale for the modeling and talk about some previous work that we've done. Talk about the data we used, the method, the five-phase analysis plan. Present our findings, and it will be at three levels. And then talk about some limitations and next steps. There's a risk of poor access to health. This has continued to grow in this country, and researchers have dedicated their attention to it. But what we find is that all the previous efforts in the literature have been to explain barriers or risks by either personal characteristics to explain the barriers or delays in accessing services, or using ecological measures of poverty as a close proxy. So far, these have been separate efforts. In this study, we're combining the two efforts. We're using a multi-level modeling to derive health access deprivation indexes. In the related work, we're also using spatial analysis, and one of my colleagues who's right here in this room, Dr. Zhang, is actually leading in that effort, and we'll probably report on that later. A later session of APHA. But basically, what we're saying is that personal level or socio-demographic variables can explain the difficulty or risk of delaying or not getting healthcare services. Geographic level ecologic variables could also explain them, but they are the ones that are very useful at mapping. So if we can, and if there is a link between the person level variables and the geography level variables, then we should be able to combine both of these, and it should be helpful and it should be better at our ability to explain this difficulty or risk of delaying or not getting healthcare. That's basically the rationale behind our analysis. We used a five-phase analytical method. The first two phases was actually been reported earlier in this previous work that was done, the individual level analysis. What I'm reporting on today is mainly the third, fourth, and fifth phases of the study. And that's after the individual level analysis, merging. I forgot to say, we use NHIS data and also Census 2000 data. So the third phase of the study involved merging the NHIS data with the census data. And that, as you all know, involves going to the NCHS site and sitting there and doing the work at their premises. You cannot get the NHS data with the geocodes on your own. You'll have to go to them to do it. So that's what we did. We also did multi-level modeling and the subsequent derivation of the deprivation index right there at the NCHS campus. And the mapping is what follows that. Now, I think it's also worth stating that we used dependent variables, different sets of dependent variables at various levels. At the individual level, we used dependent variables that were derived directly from NHIS. There's a question, there are actually three questions that we use. One of the questions goes this way. It says, in 12 months prior to the survey, did you delay getting care due to any of five reasons? And the five reasons are, couldn't get through on the phone, couldn't get an appointment soon enough, had to wait too long in the office, the clinic or office was closed when I got there, or didn't have transportation to go. There were two other questions that talked about having delay in getting care due to cost, or you needed mental health care, counseling, prescription medication, but could not afford it. So those are the three questions that we sort of coerced together into our dependent variable. Now, at the census tract in the census data. We created a dependent variable that involved the number of people within a census tract who were we considered to be deprived of health access from these sets of questions. Analytical design, we actually, for this analysis, we went, for the first set of analysis, we used 2002 NHIS data. And that's what we reported on earlier. For this, we went back and estimated a model using 2001-2003 data, and then evaluated the model using 2004-2006 data. We basically checked for multicollinearity. We identified the two dependent variables out of the three questions I talked about. And then we went on and did a logistic regression. As you might know, there are issues with goodness of fit for logistic regression where you have complex survey design. So we made sure we use the right goodness of fit test. We use the Acha and Lemeshaw test 2006 or 2007 using STATA. Then after we've done that, to maximize cell sizes, we combined our NHIS data 2001-2005, and then that's what we merge with census data to do our analysis. The findings from the personal level, the individual level, and this is the results that have been reported earlier to some extent using just 2002 data. But basically, it says that the most significant predictors of health access deprivation for adults, don't have insurance, they're functionally limited in some way, assess themselves to be of fair or poor health, don't own a home, they live with no children in a household, or they're less than 65 years old. So we then went on, well, we derived a deprivation index out of that. We just thought, well, what about just deriving an access deprivation index at the individual level? And we did that. We basically used the predictive values from our regression, logistic regression. And this is a distribution of those deprivation indexes. We then went on to the census tract level, merged our NHIS data with census, and then derived or created this new set of dependent variables for each census tract, and try to assess if we could identify variables that would explain health access deprivation at the census tract level, where the dependent variable is now the number of people, the proportion of people who are health deprived. So at this point, we're using just the census tracts that had people who answered the NHIS questions in them. So out of this, about 65,000 total number of census tracts in the whole country, there were about, I think, 11,000 that fitted that. A big chunk of those, about 3,000 of those, we actually had only one person in them. And in the different types of analysis that we did, we sort of did a sensitivity where we would drop every census tract that had less than five people in it, and in another case we would add them all in. I will report on that in a bit. I should also say that for the individual level analysis, we used Sudan for the analysis itself, but for the goodness of fit test, we used data. Then we went on to the multi-level analysis. So now we've got individual level and census tract level. We identified variables. We decided to then put those variables together in the multi-level analysis estimation. And this is what the model actually looked like. Level 1 of the model and level 2 of the model. Where the level 2 part, of course, are the slopes and intercepts. Okay. And this is these are the results of that, and basically, let's see, as an example of it, and I think I can use this as an example, the functional limit one. As you remember, at the individual level, functional limitation was one of the variables. There it is right in here. But also at the census tract level, there were other things that we could put in. So as an example here, we could say that functional limitation is still a significant variable in explaining the risk of being deprived of access to health, but that is reduced if the proportion of people, the retired people in the census tract where one lives, if there's a high number of people, of retired persons in that census tract, the risk of health access deprivation is reduced. That's an example of what the results mean. Now, from those, we also use the expected values, and then create plotted the distribution. And this is actually the distribution of after we've done the regression, the multi-level regression for just the NHIS variables. We then took those variables to the rest of the census tracts and ran it for 65,000 of them. So this is the result of that. And oh my God, I guess it's my sorry about that. It was stopped in a second. And then we took the those results, the health access deprivation indexes that we've derived, and plotted them and mapped them. And this is the national map showing that we actually normalized them and then grouped them into 5 quintiles, and that's what's mapped out here. It's very hard to see all the pockets of health access deprivation on a nationwide map like this. They should be the red ones, red and orange maps, but they're so small that it's very hard to see it, because if, as you remember, we're talking about census tracts. Not many of the areas that are deprived have contiguous census tracts together, all being deprived. You definitely don't have many areas where a whole county is deprived. That's all. There are very few of those. But you can see that those are the ones that you can see very clearly. So we went ahead and looked at a much smaller area. And this is the area, the New York City, New Jersey area, where this area is actually Jersey City. And you can see that in this case, the areas that we've identified as deprived are more or less coincide with areas where you would expect them to be deprived. Those are the poor areas of Jersey City. The more affluent areas right next to the river, you don't see any red or orange. So we did that. If you look at, for example, maps where you've got rural areas, you would find red and orange areas in some of those rural areas. So rural areas are one of those also that we identified. The next steps after this, we expect to use local survey data to evaluate our maps and our health access deprivation index. That's the next thing that we expect to do, and we've already acquired data from Ohio, a survey that was done over there that we're going to use. We're pursuing maybe getting some data from California also that we could use to do that. And then we would also overlay our maps with health provider availability and see what that means in terms of does it have something to do with the fact that there just aren't enough providers in those areas. third thing we expect to do is to incorporate our tool in a mapping tool that we already have at the Robert Graham Center website called Health Landscape. So those are the three things we expect to be the next steps. Okay, thank you. I work for the Robert Graham Center, which is part of the American Academy of Family Physicians, but we are independent of the American Academy of Family Physicians. So it's not everything we do that feeds directly into policy for the American Academy of Family Physicians. And this is one of those that doesn't feed directly into the policy. I don't know what they're going to do. We don't know what they're going to do. We usually just do work, and we do work that's related to primary care, and then we publish it and leave it out there. Sometimes the academy picks up on it, sometimes they actually would write